species, like this Swainson's hawk. Hawks see the swirling vultures and join in, taking the opportunity to save their energy. The air current lifts the birds hundreds or thousands of feet in the air before petering out. Finally, the raptors leave the thermal and glide downward for miles, often far enough to take them to another thermal. Thermals make raptor migration a breeze and a spectacle for observers on the ground. For BirdNote, I'm Michael Stein. Support for BirdNote is provided by Jim and Birte Faulkner, and generous listeners around the world.
Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah!
Welcome to Earth Riot Radio. I'm Reverend Billy here at the Church of Stop Shopping in New York City. We are sitting in the Roman Colosseum. The gladiators are facing off below us. Over there, we've got raw capitalism. This is raw, pure, unadulterated capitalism. Doesn't need any excuse. Doesn't need even to say that it's good for the economy. Doesn't need laws. Doesn't need marketing. Doesn't need decorations of any kind. Doesn't need media. Doesn't need anything. It's just going to steal everything you've got. Everything that's not nailed down, it belongs to that capitalist, and then it'll kill you. So there you go. That's a very dangerous gladiator. And then over here we have a that's a very powerful looking, in fact, very large. It's bigger than a mountain, this gladiator. It's bigger than the oceans and the sky and the rivers and all of the life on the earth. It is the earth. That is the earth. This second gladiator is the earth. And how has the earth been manifesting its power? Well, over the last 2 years, 24 months, started in March of 2023, there has been a global heat wave that is so extreme that the director of NASA said that they can't use climate computer modeling anymore. They just throw all that away because the astronomical increase in heat every month is just beyond devices. Okay, it's the floods and fires simply everywhere. The mortality's outrageous right now. And the scientists are saying, well, this is the first step in the sixth extinction. So it's not happening in 2050 or 2040 or 2030. It's happening right now. This is a dangerous gladiator indeed. So this is the face-off between the Earth and capitalism. And, oh my God, there's going to be an Earth riot here. Somebody give me an Earth-a-lujah!
Earth-a-lujah! That is why each day under our administration of American patriots, we will be working to meet every crisis with dignity and power and strength. We will move with purpose and speed to bring back hope, prosperity, safety, and peace for citizens of every race, religion, color, and creed. For American citizens, January 20th, 2025 is Liberation Day.
How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must the white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand?
No one comes close. Americans push thousands of miles through a rugged land of untamed wilderness. They crossed deserts, scaled mountains, braved untold dangers, won the Wild West, ended slavery, rescued millions from tyranny, lifted billions from poverty, harnessed electricity, split the atom, launched mankind into the heavens.
No country can lead the fight for social justice unless its commitment to its own people is credible and determined, unless it seeks jobs and not the dole for men, unless it feels anguish as long as any of its children are hungry, unless it believes in opportunity for all of its citizens all across this land. Our future may lie beyond our vision, but it is not beyond our control.
The journey to reclaim our republic has not been an easy one, that I can tell you. Those who wish to stop our cause have tried to take my freedom and indeed to take my life. Just a few months ago, in a beautiful Pennsylvania field, an assassin's bullet ripped through my ear. But I felt then, and believe even more so now, that my life was saved for a reason. I was saved by God to make America great again.
And those of you who are familiar with it, yes, know that in America, democracy is hypocrisy.
Right.
Now, if I'm wrong, put me in jail. But if you can't prove that a democracy is not hypocrisy, then don't put your hands on me.
Our liberties and our nation's glorious destiny will no longer be denied, and we will immediately restore the integrity, competency, and loyalty of America's government. Over the past 8 years, I have been tested and challenged more than any president in our 250-year history.
I trust that all of you know that you are living under a corrupt campaign finance system which allows billionaires to buy elections. Don't tell me about democracy when Musk himself can put $270 million to elect Donald Trump and then get rewarded with the most important position in government. But it's not just Musk and Republicans, it's the Democratic Party as well. Their billionaires tell candidates, don't stand up to the powerful special interest, and too many Democrats are listening to them.
Check.
The Trump administration admits that it has jailed Mahmoud Khalil, a young husband and father from New York, without any evidence or charge of a crime. The Trump administration admits that they have thrown Mahmoud in a cell thousands of miles away because he attended a protest and are detaining him for the content of his speech and nothing more. In fact, Donald Trump's detention of someone like Mahmoud Khalil for his speech is anti-American. And we demand his release, along with the release of Rumeysa Ozturk, who he is also jailing for writing an op-ed in her school paper. And we demand their release because we, Los Angeles, we do have power in this moment. All of us do, and everyday people do. In fact, you all showed that this week, LA. A few days ago, ICE officials attempted to enter two LAUSD schools to target kids. They lied to school officials and claimed that they had parents' permission to get to these children when they didn't. But it wasn't just a lawyer or a judge that said no. It started with everyday people, school staff, and employees who spoke up when they felt something was off. And it was the teachers and principals that stood strong and said no to protect their kids when it could have been easier to say yes out of fear.
Hello, welcome to News from the Natural World. I'm Savitri D. Growing wildflowers on disused urban land can damage bee health. Wildflowers growing on land previously used for buildings and factories can accumulate lead, arsenic, and other metal contaminants from the soil, which are then consumed by pollinators as they feed. The metals have previously been shown to damage the health of pollinators, which ingest them in nectar as they feed, leading to reduced population sizes and death. Even low nectar metal levels can have long-term effects by affecting bees' learning and memory, which impacts their foraging ability. Researchers have found that common plants, including white clover and bindweed, which are vital forage for pollinators in cities, can accumulate arsenic, cadmium, chromium, and lead from contaminated soils. Microplastics have been found for the first time in human ovary follicular fluid, raising a new round of questions about the ubiquitous and toxic substance's potential impact on women's fertility. The new peer-reviewed research published in Ecotoxicology and Environmental Safety checked for microplastics in the follicular fluid of 18 women undergoing assisted reproductive treatment at a fertility clinic in Salerno, Italy, and detected them in 14. Follicular fluid provides essential nutrients and biochemical signals for developing eggs. Contaminating that process with bits of plastic quite likely has implications for fertility, hormonal balance, and overall reproductive health. Wildfires have increased by 1,200% in some UK regions this year, fueled by one of the driest Marches in decades and rising temperatures. In the UK, blazes are increasingly threatening landscapes that once stayed wet and cool for much of the year, endangering rare and vulnerable wildlife. This shift is part of a broader pattern linked to climate change. As temperatures rise and rainfall patterns shift, peatlands dry out, grasslands become tinder, and ecosystems collapse under the pressure. When fire sweeps through a peat bog, it doesn't just destroy the surface, it burns deep into the carbon-rich soil, releasing greenhouse gases and turning natural carbon sinks into sources of pollution. Recovery, if it happens, takes decades. In a study of heterosexual women, Cornell researchers found that two people judge within minutes whether they have the potential to be friends, and that personal odor is a strong predictor of whether two people might engage with each other, a demonstration of the power of what scientists call diplomatic odor. Researchers led by the University of Cambridge report the strongest sign so far of a biosignature outside the solar system. Using data from the James Webb Space Telescope, they found the chemical signature of dimethyl sulfide and/or dimethyl disulfide in the atmosphere of exoplanet K2-18b, which orbits in the so-called habitable zone of its host star. Conservative people in America appear to distrust science more broadly than previously thought. Science can help solve major societal problems such as pandemics, but if people do not trust scientists, they will be less likely to accept scientific solutions. Part of the explanation is that scientific findings do not align with conservatives' political or economic beliefs, and science is also increasingly dismissed in some circles as a, quote, leftist hobby. Liberals were found to have more trust than conservatives in all 35 scientific professions that were examined, not just in fields that align with their priorities, such as climate change or inclusion, but also in areas focused on industry. The mistrust among conservatives was particularly large for climate scientists, medical researchers, and social scientists. This is likely because findings in these fields often conflict with conservative beliefs, such as a free market economy or conservative social policies. A trio of environmental scientists has found that global warming has led to tripling the length of ocean surface heat waves. The group describes how they created a model showing what sea surface temperatures would have been had global warming never occurred. Marine heat waves occur when portions of the sea surface are warmer than normal for certain periods of time. They are of concern because warmer surface temperatures mean more evaporation, which generally means stormy weather. In their comparisons, the research team found that approximately half of the marine heat waves since 2000 would not have occurred without global warming. They found that over the past several decades, heat waves have occurred more often and have increased in intensity. They are now approximately 1 degree Celsius warmer. They also found that there were just 15 days of extreme marine heat waves in the 1940s per year, while today that figure has jumped to 50, and some areas, such as parts of the Indian Ocean, experience up to 80 of them every year. Up to 17% of cropland worldwide is contaminated with at least one type of toxic heavy metal, posing health risks to up to 1.4 billion people. A new report is a first-of-its-kind global overview of heavy metal contamination in soils, based on a meta-analysis of almost 800,000 samples. Researchers focused on areas where concentrations of at least one of seven metals, arsenic, cadmium, cobalt, chromium, copper, nickel, and lead, were above recommended safe limits for agriculture and human health. Heavy metal contamination can stem from both natural geological processes and human activity such as industrial waste, agriculture, or mining. Artificial light that is scattered in the atmosphere and brightens the night sky can have an effect far from where it is emitted. This phenomenon is known as artificial sky glow. Sky glow can affect biodiversity over long distances. The effects of sky glow on freshwater ecosystems were largely unknown until recently. Many of the organisms in lakes follow a day-night rhythm. In a new study, scientists have shown that artificial light at night promotes the proliferation of cyanobacteria, also known as blue-green algae, which can produce toxins. Sky glow also stimulates rapid carbon cycling in freshwaters, which can further disturb the chemistry of the complex food web. Using advanced DNA sequence analysis, a research team has discovered that tiny organisms in Brooklyn's highly contaminated Gowanus Canal have developed a comprehensive collection of pollution-fighting genes. This finding suggests the potential of a cheaper, more sustainable, and less disruptive method for cleaning contaminated waterways than the current oft-used dredging operations. The team identified 455 species of microorganisms wielding 64 different biochemical pathways to degrade pollutants and 1,171 genes to process heavy metals. Researchers also discovered 2,300 novel genetic sequences that could enable microbes to produce potentially valuable biochemical compounds for medicine, industry, or environmental applications. The team discovered genes for resistance to 8 different classes of antibiotics in the canal microbes, with some coming from human gut bacteria that enter the canal during combined sewer overflows, when heavy rainfall causes stormwater and untreated sewage to discharge directly into the Gowanus Canal. And now, the sounds of extinction. African forest elephants inhabit humid tropical forests in West Africa and the Congo Basin. It is the smallest of the 3 living elephant species, reaching a shoulder height of 7 feet 10 inches. As with other African elephants, both sexes have straight down pointing tusks, which begin to grow once the animals reach 1 to 3 years old. The forest elephant lives in highly sociable family groups of up to 20 individuals. Since they forage primarily on leaves, seeds, fruit, and tree bark, they have often been referred to as the mega gardener of the forest. The species is one of many that contributes significantly to maintaining the composition, diversity, and structure of the Ghanaian forests of West Africa and the Congolese rainforests. African forest elephants are threatened foremost by habitat loss and habitat fragmentation. Following conversion of forests for plantations of non-timber crops, livestock farming, and the construction of urban and industrial areas, human-elephant conflict has increased. Poaching for ivory and bushmeat is also a significant threat in Central Africa. African forest elephants are wonderful swimmers. And hear the sound of the African forest elephant.
Yesterday, as thousands of tree people crossed the Hudson establishing beachheads along the West Side Highway, planting trees, and then disappearing into the Greenwich Village area, apparently taken in by sympathetic local residents. Police are trying to keep the so-called earthers from reaching the crowds of animal humans. Animal humans are occupying the Great Meadow in Central Park as I speak. Bird people were observed by police landing in the Bronx and west from the Far Rockaways in Brooklyn. Now, the mayor has asked the administration in Washington to declare earthers as terrorists. They want them to say that parents need to keep their children home. Bird and fish and trees should not be invited into our homes. The tornado storms that have hovered over New Jersey in recent years seem to have given the fish people cover. They seized Liberty Island and Ellis Island late last night. The Coast Guard tells us they're having difficulties in approaching the landmarks with their landing vehicles. Now, the refineries on the outskirts of Newark have not been online since a three-pronged attack by bird, fish, and forest people in early April. A reporter invited to tour the facilities found the oil storage tanks covered with rare vines. Experiments in oil reclamation use fossil fuel-eating bacteria. The old power plants are surrounded by armed police. However, the police are in turn surrounded by more citizens, some of them in the illegal nature costumes. Now, they were once considered, earthers were once considered an eccentric fringe element in the environmental movement. The earthers' flocks and schools and moving forests briefly seized control of London last month, forcing biosystems over human social systems. This is not a new idea, not a new social observers trace influences to Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds and to Edward Abbey's The Monkey Wrench Gang. The problem, officials insist, is the infiltration now of the teachers' union. All biology teachers in high schools are now held in the famous rubber rooms in the school buildings. Natural scientists in the universities are also reporting detentions and interrogations. The Audubon Society and the Natural Resources Defense Council insist that they've never talked to the earthers, never. Bird people were, however, photographed on the roof of the Audubon Society's headquarters in downtown New York. Infiltration of environmentalist organizations by the earthers is widely suspected by the police. You know, perhaps the greatest problem, though, is what the police call the Bronx Zoo breakout conversions.
Broadcasting on the internet and at 90.1 FM from high atop Burnaby Mountain, you're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM.